4 seconds, down to two, and this game is history, folks, with the Oilers winning by a score of 8-2.
Well, the question marks continue for the Anaheim Ducks, and it's not one of those games where everyone certainly didn't bring their best game. I mean, you just mentioned on that last shift, Ilya Lyubushkin, you try to throw a hit there in the neutral zone, finish his hit off, and he had some bright moments. I thought defensively in the corner, he continues to get in the shooting lanes, block shots. You know, of course, Max Jones with the lone two goals here for the Anaheim Ducks. I thought Leeson and really that whole line, Sam Carrick, Brock McGinn, they brought some bright moments, but collectively, yet again for the Anaheim Ducks, it was a full team loss. Not enough pieces. And it's just something that they're going to continue to have to work on. Who do we rely on night in, night out to come up big for us? And are you doing just that? There's going to be a lot of looking in the mirror type of mentality here for this Ducks hockey club, and rightfully so, right? They just need more guys stepping up to the plate night in, night out.
I don't know if I can add to that. So what we're going to do is Alexis Downey is waiting in the studio back in Southern California. Going to give you two a chance to discuss this game as we pack up the equipment and head for the bus and then to Vancouver. Just want to remind everyone that the phone number to text 714-940-2950. If you have any opinion at all on this hockey game won by Edmonton, call it. Again, text 714-940-2950. So we're going to clean up the press room here and then head to Vancouver. When we come back after the commercial break, Emerson Eden with Alexis Downey as we start our post-game coverage following the Edmonton 6-goal victory. Back with all of that after this on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn, presented by Gettle.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Thank you.
That's the sound of Casey getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told him the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be replacing his old manual wheelchair with a brand new power wheelchair. And we paid him for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the 2023 Accord. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. O-N-S. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Get the perfect holiday gifts for hockey fans on your list at NHLShop.com. The world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and more. All the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special holiday offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
To most people, a flashlight is just a light. But to Gettle air conditioning and plumbing customers, it's a beacon, illuminating the way to total home comfort and peace of mind. And when that flashlight comes on, our values shine bright. We respond quickly and get the job done right. From complex plumbing and sewer repairs to Sadie-certified AC installations, Gettle's got this. Visit us online at Gettle.com. G-O-E-T-T-L. There's no one better, but it's hard to spell.
GACLA 125-674-EM-433-90. Avoid the penalty box. Parking at Honda Center will look a little different this season. So know before you go. Be sure to review all updates, maps, and more at HondaCenter.com/parking to reserve your spot today.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Stay tuned for the Anaheim Ducks postgame show, up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show, exclusively streaming on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio home for the Anaheim Ducks.
Welcome into the Anaheim Ducks postgame show. Alexis Downey here with you. Also, Emerson Edom joins us from Edmonton. The Anaheim Ducks falling in this one 8-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. Really a tough game on the road for the Ducks as they continue on with their losing streak. Now 6 games, they are 9-12 on their season, struggling as of late. But Emerson, what do you think was the difference in this one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a full 60-minute effort, not in the right direction. I mean, one of my keys, my third key to the Honda keys to the game was put together a full 60-plus-minute hockey game. Oh, boy, it just, in every which category, did not go the way Anaheim anticipated. I mean, you got into more penalty trouble than you had hoped for. Of course, they were got a couple goals against there on that lights-out power play for the Edmonton Oilers. God, there was good jump early on. It was back and forth. It was a back-and-forth transition style game, and really, until the very end, Edmonton Oilers just beat them at that transition game. There's a couple times that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins play in particular where he got behind the D on that stretch play. Gorgeous pass from Darnell Nurse. Seemed like at the bottom of the defensive zone circles and slung it there. That's that awareness. That's, are you ready to play in the game? You know, are you head checking? Are you sideline? Are you making sure everyone's in front of you? Well, in that case, certainly that did not happen. It was just one of the goals where this Edmonton Oilers firepower, the up front, their skill players really made the Ducks pay in those sort of circumstances. The transition game just wasn't pretty.
8-2 final in Edmonton. The Oilers getting the win. It's time to go through what went down in this game, starting in the first period. I mean, it was a good start for the Anaheim Ducks in this one as they did get the lead, something that they've been looking and working to do. It was Max Jones getting the first goal of the game, a really great pass from Brett Leason, who found Jones streaking down the center.
Pile up down in the corner. Oilers trying to make a play back to the line. Broken up by Vaakanainen. Here comes Anaheim on the attack. Centering feed. Oh, and Max Jones has just scored. Light delayed in coming on, but what a great pass. A shot in tight to the right of Skinner. Max Jones gets the goal. It's 1-0 Anaheim.
Max Jones' goal coming 3.5 minutes into that first period. Now, the Oilers did respond. Evander Kane getting a goal to tie it 1-1. But Max Jones once again getting the go-ahead goal 2-1 after his second goal.
Great wall work play from behind the net there. And, oh, a goal scored. That's Max Jones again.
Boy, oh, boy. What a start for number 49, Max Jones. While sliding down, dropped one by the goaltender Skinner. So the Ducks go ahead. Edmonton ties. Ducks go ahead. Maybe that sort of hockey game the rest of the way.
Well, Emerson, it was really encouraging to see those goals from Max Jones before basically the wheels fell off the barrel on this one. But What can you say about Max Jones's start to this game and his performance as of late?
Well, you could certainly see it brewing. Ever since he was taken out of the lineup by head coach Greg Cronin, the message was sent, and not only was the message sent, that the message was received by Max Jones. I mean, really, it starts with utilizing his footwork, his speed, the combination of his speed and his size could just be devastating on the forecheck for a opposing D, and he's really been, like I mentioned on the broadcast, getting into the mental state of some of the first D back into their D zone, and it's just intimidating when you see a guy going that fast at that height and weight coming right at you. He's been building momentum for himself in that fashion, and coming out with those battles, he's been shooting each and everything. The last game against the Los Angeles Kings, there he had an outside rip that hit the short side elbow there, and he just continues to build his momentum game in and game out. I thought his line mate Bo Grew had a great game and certainly helped Max in his efforts. So those guys, the secondary scoring needs to continue if this Ducks want to turn this thing around down the stretch.
Well, Emerson, we did get a text that's directed towards you too, and I know you're going to have to leave after this segment, so I want to make sure we get to it right now, real quick, in the middle of this recap, because it's from Plagues, and he has a question. He said, wow, they looked overmatched tonight, as much as I hate to say it. Expected to see some sort of pushback, but unfortunately, it felt lifeless from Anaheim after the first. Poor Dostal as well. He got hung out to dry. Not much he could do. Emmer, can we still chalk it up that they're a young team and they're still learning, or is tonight the breaking point and we see something different in Vancouver?
Well, I'm just going to list the top six of the Edmonton Oilers, then I'm going to proceed to list the top six of the Anaheim Ducks. It's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, it's McDavid, Hyman, Kane, Drysdale, and Brown, right? I mean, how many did I just name, that have been perennial point-a-game players? You go over to Vetrano, McTavish, Strom, Killorn, Henrique, and Terry on Anaheim's front, and look, those guys need to just find it within themselves. Maybe historically they haven't been asked to score at a top six rate, but guess what? Your top six players, and I'm not saying this, counting them out. I think each and every one of those Ducks top six players, at least was the case in this game, have the potential to be a point of game. They just got to find it within themselves. They got to know that they can't lose any 50-50 battles. They got to play the puck and not play hot potato out there. Like, every puck possession is so huge, and they have to score on their chances. And you know what? Once again, the team that came out on top buried their grade A scoring opportunities to Anaheim, which really didn't.
Yeah, this one 8-2, as we mentioned. A couple more things in this first period. We saw a goal from Connor McDavid, who went on to have an outstanding night. It was a 3-on-1 play. Cam Fowler back for the Ducks, but McDavid just taking it for himself in that first period.
Lacombe trying to come in, get close to the clearing attempt there by Darnell Nurse. Up ahead, a shot! They score! And that is number 97, Connor McDavid. Not too many goaltenders would stop that one off to the left of the goal crease. And the Oilers fight back with 10:31 to go in the period to tie up the hockey game at 2 apiece.
The Oilers would then add two more in that first period after McDavid's goal. It was 4-2. The Ducks down 2 goals after one. Second period, an early start from Bo Grew. Emerson, I know you mentioned that you liked his play, and he had a really good shot early in that second period.
Lobushkin comes out to greet the Oiler at center. That's Fogle. The other way, Grew. Oh, and he hit the goalpost. And the puck goes out of play. Thought for a minute, Bo Grew had cut the lead down to one.
Emerson, I mean, just talking about Bo Grew a little bit more, just what have you seen from him that makes him have that potential to maybe have a breakout at some point?
Yeah, not long ago, Alexis, did you mention, could we see a shakeup? Could we see just something drastically different moving forward? And hey, don't be surprised if head coach Greg Cronin really comes out with maybe a Grew paired with, who knows, Henrique and Terry, or just switching it up, even though he's a center, guys that are playing well right now are going to get rewarded with more ice time. You saw Max Jones get rewarded with more ice time. He looked really good being moved up a few games ago on that first line. So when it comes to a shakeup, maybe that's what this lineup needs. And so expect some movement from first line to third line. Of course, Terry went back on that third line not too long ago. So maybe there is going to be a shakeup brewing here for this Anaheim Ducks roster. Don't count that out.
There really has been a lot of lineup changes besides what we've seen in that steady presence between Vetrano, McTavish, and Strome throughout this whole season on the front end. All right, another goal that was just after that one in the second period. Zach Hyman getting his second goal of the game, making it a 6-2 game.
Puck is pushed through the neutral zone on the Anaheim side of center. Played by Lacombe and now moved ahead for Alex Killorn, who turned it over. A break for Edmonton. The shot, they score. Not much Dolstal could do about that. Derek Ryan scoring the goal, which gives, or was that Hyman? It might have been Hyman who got the goal. Hyman will get it on a clear-cut break. It's now 6-2 for the Oilers.
So after that, the Anaheim Ducks made a goaltender change. Lukáš Dostal out of the net. John Gibson going in to maybe give the team a little bit of stability. And we saw some better defensive play to end that second period. 6-2, Anaheim down and Edmonton leading that one. Moving into the third, Leon Draisaitl getting a one-timer power play goal off a pass from Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid out there on this power play. Nugent Hopkins to his side. A shot, they score on a one-time blast. And that's a perfect, perfect one-time blast. Puck on his stick, teed it up. And not many goaltenders could probably come up with that. Power play goal for Edmonton makes it 7-2.
Well, Emerson, it was really that third period where the Ducks were getting in some penalty trouble, and it resulted in two power play goals for Edmonton.
Yeah, and it was sequences in which maybe you can make the argument that they were careless. But look, I just think this has been a different third period Anaheim Duck team, right? We've seen some of the best hockey come from the Ducks in this third period. Tonight was different. It looked more like a depleted Ducks team that's maybe just thinking, here we go again. Here we're in this situation, but down by even more against a team that. Just from a standings perspective, isn't in some of those spots that, look, the Florida Panthers were on that comeback push late in the third period or a few other games in this recent stretch. So I gotta tell you, you're going up against a Vancouver team upcoming here Tuesday night that, look, they're 2-4 in their last six. It's time right away for this Anaheim Ducks team to turn the page because they just have to. They got to put this one behind them. You can maybe, through the full 60, their least prettiest performance of this regular season so far. So you're going to have to ask more of certain guys. You're going to have to clean up the penalty trouble because I tell you what, you're facing Hughes, you're facing JT Miller off the flank on that power play of the Vancouver Canucks, and they are as scary on the power play as any team in the National Hockey League. So you got to stay out of the box upcoming here against the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, Emerson, we'll hear from you in Vancouver on Tuesday. We'll see you soon. Thanks for joining the post-game show. And for those listening, stick around for more after the break to break down this Anaheim Ducks game.
Oh, that would be so beautiful. I could use that. I appreciate it.
That's the sound of Paula getting up. Random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be giving her yard a professional makeover. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the 2024 CR-V. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
To most people, a flashlight is just a light. But to Gettle Air Conditioning and Plumbing customers, it's a beacon, illuminating the way to total home comfort and peace of mind. And when that flashlight comes on, our values shine bright. We respond quickly and get the job done right. From complex plumbing and sewer repairs to Sadie-certified AC installations, Gettle's got this. Visit us online at Gettle.com. G-O-E-T-T-L. There's no one better, but it's hard to spell.
GACLA 125-674-EM-433-90.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Orange County for the first time in 6 years. You'll see WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins.
Who's the kid now?
The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
May the best man win.
Nia Jax. The main event, Jey Uso. Oh. Damian Priest. Becky Lynch.
I am the man.
And more. Honda Center, 4:30 p.m. Monday, February 19th. Tickets start at just $25 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.
The Anaheim Ducks 30th anniversary season will feature 30 theme and giveaway nights. Check out the full schedule of festivities, including special legacy nights, the second annual Women in Sports Night, and more at anaheimducks.com/promos.
Welcome back to the Anaheim Ducks post-game show here on Duck Stream. Alexis Downey with you after this one. Emerson Edom leaving us as he had to go and hop on the plane to get ready for the game in Vancouver, as the team will fly there tonight to get ready for Tuesday. And let's get to some of our text messages that we received after this 8-2 loss for the Anaheim Ducks. Really just a rough game, honestly. And there certainly are some things to take away from it, though. But Keegan from Wisconsin said the Ducks scored from the get-go this time but struggled to keep scoring. Poor Dostal got torn apart and Gibson didn't fare much better. Lately feels like we're always fighting just to keep the puck instead of shooting it during the later half of the game. Here's to hoping we bring a better fight to the Canucks on Tuesday. Yeah, Keegan, I certainly hope so too. And honestly, I had a feeling that this game was really not going to go like this going into it. After what we saw from the Ducks against the LA Kings on Friday, I thought maybe, you know, they would feel a little more rejuvenated getting on the road, change in scenery, kind of like Alex Killorn shared with us after the last game against the LA Kings that we played in our pregame show. But that really just wasn't the case tonight. It was a good start for this team. They did get off pretty well offensively, getting their chances. Max Jones playing really well in that first period. The Ducks even out shooting Edmonton in that first period, 12 shots to 10, winning their faceoffs at 54.2%, creating hits, having some block shots, and overall just keeping up with that Edmonton high-powered offense. As Emerson called this first period, it was a pinball first period, just the pucks bouncing all over, chances all over, but ultimately, you know, the Ducks just didn't seem to be able to keep up with Edmonton in this one. Defensively, seems like they were falling apart too. Edmonton really working to get behind the Ducks defenders, and that's something that I'll talk a little bit about just shortly. But yeah, it seems like, as you said, Keegan, just trying to keep the puck instead of shooting it in later half of this game. Puck management has been something that I feel like we've talked a lot about, especially with Emerson and myself, just on the pregame show, just puck management, possession time in general. And the Ducks were tired on that end tonight. It felt like Edmonton really had the puck a lot. The Ducks, they weren't getting their bounces off the boards. It just seemed a little sloppy. And ultimately, I think that's where you kind of saw that too, just not being able to shoot the puck as much because they weren't having the possession time that they needed to shoot the puck. Ultimately, 4 shots on goal in that third period and only 7 by the Ducks in the second. It's that same idea Greg Cronin keeps saying. The Ducks just need to shoot the puck more, and they haven't been doing it enough. 23 shots in this game for Anaheim, only 26 by Edmonton, but those chances, some of them that they had, were really lethal, and you couldn't necessarily blame Lukáš Dostál or John Gibson on some of that because of the situations that they were certainly put in. 2. Another text that we received. Bummer. Well, we will win next time. I hope so. This Edmonton team, though, seems to they're starting to put it together. They had a very convincing win over the Washington Capitals. They come into tonight, have another big convincing win, playing the style of play that we've seen out of them. And we know that they can play. Now, they do struggle on the back end in the goaltender area. Stuart Skinner in the net tonight for Edmonton. And that was actually something that Brett Leeson talked about in his first intermission interview with Steve and Emerson, just saying that the Stuart Skinner was a little shaky, and if they were able to shoot pucks in traffic well, that he thought maybe they could find some more chances there. But like I kind of said, the wheels falling off the wagon for the Ducks in this one tonight. So going through this game a little bit more, going back to that first period, I talked about how, you know, it was a good start for the Ducks. They were keeping up with the pace, the transition game, as Emerson kept talking about too. That's what this game was all about, because Edmonton is so quick in transition. They'll get the puck. They'll move it well. Their passing was there. And that's exactly what happened tonight. The Ducks were doing that a little bit to start. Brett Leeson had a really impressive pass to find Max Jones on that first goal. And then Max Jones' second goal, I was impressed by as well, just spinning around. He was falling to the ice as he was able to put it behind Stuart Skinner in the net. Great to see that from Max Jones. As I mentioned on the broadcast, I had the chance to speak with him last week, not too long ago, just about how it's kind of been difficult for him because he's been juggling around in the lines. Leo Carlson goes out a game. He jumps in on the top line. He gets some power play minutes. How it is mentally for Max Jones. And he was honest with me. I mean, he said it has been difficult, but he has accepted this role as a Swiss Army knife. And he's just focused on playing the way that he plays. And it has certainly been paying off for him as of late. Playing on that third line tonight with Bo Grew and Jakob Silverberg. We talked about Bo Grew in the last segment, Emerson and I, and just how impressive that he has been. And maybe if we will see a big change up in the lines, I don't know. Maybe that could be something that Greg Cronin wants to try out because, I mean, you've lost 6 games in a row. You got to figure out something that's going to work for this team, maybe change some things up. And that'll be interesting to watch to see what changes on Tuesday. Moving on into that second period of play, we already talked about how Bo Grew started off strong with a really nice shot. The team seemed to be pushing back on Edmonton a little bit early, but man, the Oilers were getting behind Anaheim so easily in the neutral zone, right behind the defenseman, just making those right plays. I mean, there were multiple goals where the Ducks defensemen were up, Edmonton getting right behind them. You just can't have that happen, especially with a team that is so fast. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' goal coming on a play like that. Zach Hyman's second goal that we heard in the recap coming on a similar play like that. And that's where I think the Ducks started to overthink things. And that's something that head coach Greg Cronin has talked a lot about, how mental the game of hockey is. When you are in a situation where your team is down, how much you can get in your head about just the little things. And that's where it comes into play. Okay, the guys aren't playing simple, as they like to say. Like, they're not making the right plays, the easy plays, finding their passes. They're just overthinking things. And I think that's kind of what we started to see, especially in that second period. And it was honestly, I mean, after that 6th goal, when Edmonton at that point was leading by 4 goals in the second period, that goaltender change from Lukáš Dostál to John Gibson, yes, it might have been a little bit of a performance thing as Dostál was 10 for 16 at that point, but they needed another leader on the back end, someone that was maybe a little bit more reliable in the sense of on the leader side, someone that had a little bit more experience, I think. And that's why they brought, I'm thinking, John Gibson in to stabilize the game, kind of calm things down. And the team did play better defensively when John Gibson came in, but ultimately it just, I mean, it wasn't enough in that second period. And the third period was just another story that we're going to get to after the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll have more of a breakdown of this Anaheim Ducks and Edmonton Oilers game.
The biggest classic rock hits do just that. They hit hard. And on TuneIn's Classic Rock Hits, you'll find only the best in high-octane awesomeness. We're talking rock gods like Led Zeppelin, Kiss, AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and so many more. So for those of you about to rock, search Classic Rock Hits or ask your smart device to play Classic Rock Hits on TuneIn.
Radio.
This might be a touchdown.
Hey, it's your friend Garth Brooks, and we've got a new station exclusively here on TuneIn called Tailgate Radio, which you are going to love. You'll hear the most epic party anthems that will keep you and your crew bouncing. Turn it on and turn it up for the perfect tailgate playlist on game day. Search for Tailgate Radio on TuneIn to listen.
Tailgate Radio. Exclusively on TuneIn.
There's a lot to listen to on TuneIn.
Music.
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 At 17 years old, working a part-time job.
Man, reaching over the railing, he caught it!
But if you want to discover some new favorites, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at TuneIn for all new recommendations. Who knows? You may just find your new favorite radio station. Follow us now and hear all the audio you love right on TuneIn.
Follow you.
Follow us.
Follow us.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Hey, music lovers, it's your friend Garth Brooks, and I want to personally invite you to listen to the world's first global country station, the Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. Join us to hear today's biggest country hits, lots of your longtime favorites, and all the rising stars who are tearing it up with their music. It's the very best of country music, all in one place. Just search the Big 615 or tell your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
We were delighted to learn that the president's lawyers, the moment they found out about...
Sports.
Dodger strikes quickly. The magic continues for
music.
Casey.
I can buy myself flowers. Calm down, calm down. And even podcasts. Whatever you love. Hear it right here on TuneIn. And be sure to ask your smart devices to play TuneIn.
Thanks for being with us on the post-game show. You're listening to it here on DuckStream, presented by Gettle and powered by TuneIn. Alexis Downey here with you to walk you through the last part of this Anaheim Ducks 8-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Really a game that the guys are going to want to move on from. And I feel like I was sitting here saying that just not too long ago, thinking about that Colorado game where the team fell big, and this is just another example of it on the road tonight. Now falling to 5-4 on the road for the record, lost 6 in a row in total, 9-12 on the season. The Ducks really have been trying to find their footing, and they are struggling to as of late, if we're being honest. And that is kind of an example of what happened in that third period. The third period was not a good period for the Anaheim Ducks, taking 5 penalties, 5 of their 6 penalties coming in that period. And that is just an example of being tired, not moving your feet, failing on some clears that we heard about in the game. There were turnovers. It was just, It was not a good showing by the Ducks in that third period. And it was tough, too, because they were without Radko Gudas. And that's something I want to talk about for a minute. So towards the end of that second period, Radko Gudas laid a hit on Leon Draisaitl on the half wall. And as they were going down on the ice and watching the replay, Draisaitl landed on Gudas's leg sort of awkwardly. And I'm guessing that was the situation of where Gudas went to the locker room. He was expected to return, but he ended up not returning in that third period as he only had 13 minutes of ice time in this game, 15 shifts. Normally a guy that plays a lot of minutes on the ice, game in and game out, between him and Cam Fowler. It's always the two of them. His presence was really missed in that third period. And also, if you think about it from a leadership standpoint as well, I mean, he is just someone that brings so much on the blue line and just brings so much to this Anaheim Ducks team. We're really excited to have him. And we've seen a lot of what he has been able to provide, that physicality, even the points this season, something that I certainly didn't expect from him either. But he was definitely missed in that third period. I really hope that he is okay going forward. It sounds like he should be, based on the fact that he was expected to return as per our Anaheim Ducks PR, but he did not. So going along with that, in that third period, I mean, there was just a lot of things that happened there too, and mostly in the favor of the Edmonton Oilers, as they did score two more goals in that period, making it an 8-2 game. Two of those goals coming on the power play. So the Ducks were 4-for-6 on the penalty kill in this game. And we knew going into it that that was going to be an area that they had to be careful of, because when you have some of the world's best hockey players on your power play, you don't want to get in a situation where you're going on the penalty kill. The Oilers' power play is 7th in the NHL going into this game at 25%. I'm sure that number will go up a little bit. And knowing, too, that they went 3-for-4 against the Washington Capitals on Friday, just adding to that total as well. So tough situation for the Ducks, just being tired and just taking their foot off the gas, really, and giving up some of those penalties. And also, I actually sent out a tweet on my own personal Twitter account, but the Ducks are the most penalized team in the NHL, and it's really not even close by who is in second place. Going into tonight, the Ducks have 115 total penalties. Montreal Canadiens behind them at 103. That is a really big gap, and the Ducks adding 6 more to that total tonight. You just can't get in the penalty trouble. And I know you're tired in a game, and mentally it's hard not to be, I don't want to say checked out, but it's hard to be in a game when you're down by so many goals at that point. It's almost like a survival mode, but it's just something that definitely was detrimental in that third period in particular. Kind of going along with this, we talked about it a little bit earlier with Emerson. We need some more contributions from the top six. And it's tough to say that too, because it has changed a lot when Leo Carlson's in the lineup. You know, he's on the top line. He's played with Killorn. He's played with Terry. He's played with Zegras. It's been a lot of changes through the season so far, but the only steady line that we've really seen has been Vetrano, McTavish, Strome. Second line, they were elevated to the top line tonight. 56 total points on the season. But if you look at the second line tonight in Killorn, Henrique, and Terry, going into this game, that line, yes, I know they don't consistently play on a line together, but if you combine all their points, 26 points on the season in total. They did have 4 shots on goal combined after 2 periods of play, though, for the three of them. But it's just a conversation, you know, when are you going to have more consistent scoring from all of your top six? And then you kind of get into the conversation of depth scoring as well. We saw that from Max Jones tonight. Really great to see. And that's where it all circles back to the idea of maybe the lineup will look a little bit different on Tuesday against the Vancouver Canucks. We will see what head coach Greg Cronin has to say. I'm definitely curious as to what his opinion on this game was, if he'll have a same outlook, kind of similar to how it was with the Colorado game too. Now, on the flip side, you look at the Edmonton Oilers in this game. New head coach, this was his 7th game, Chris Knobloch at the helm. And his guy, Connor McDavid, under him now, 5-point game. He also had a 4-point game against the Washington Capitals. 9 points in 2 games for Connor McDavid. Just doing what Connor McDavid does. He was +3 tonight, 4 shots on goal. And basically, he was across the board. I mean, he had a takeaway, a giveaway, a hit, a missed shot even. Just a point in almost every category tonight for Connor McDavid. Just showing why he is up in the conversation of the top players in the world, if not the top player. But ultimately, enough on the Edmonton Oilers, and this is about the Anaheim Ducks and what they need to do to get ready to play this Vancouver Canucks team. It's not going to be an easy game. Maybe, you know, the Canucks haven't had all the success that they've wanted as of late. They lost their last game. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But they are tied for second with the Los Angeles Kings right now in the Pacific with 29 points. The Canucks sitting at a 14-7-1 record. The Ducks, like I said, 9-12 now on their season, 18 points. That is 11 points behind the Canucks. It's hard because we have this high of this amazing road win streak, and now as of late, the road games have been tough for the Anaheim Ducks. Their last road game, that Colorado game, as I mentioned, that was also an 8-2 game, and I think that's why I'm sitting here with like a deja vu effect. So I almost want to think that maybe Greg Cronin will look at this game and be like, it's one of those games where you play so many that you're going to have an off night. But at the same time, I don't think that was the case with this one tonight. And like I said, I'm just going to be curious to see how the Ducks come out on Tuesday in Vancouver. It is a 7 p.m. Pacific time start, so we will have the pregame show for you at 6:30 here on DuckStream. Thank you all for listening to this Anaheim Ducks post game. I know that this was a tough game to watch, especially with the end of it, with everything that happened. Radko Gudas, we're hoping to hear some good news about going into the next game. The team cleaning up their penalty trouble, hoping to capitalize on a power play again soon, as the team was 0-3 on that tonight. But, you know, it'll be a new day, new game, and the team will continue on with this 2-game Canadian road trip before they come back for some more games at Honda Center later this week. For myself, Alexis Downey here in Southern California, like I said, thank you so much for tuning in to the Anaheim Ducks post-game show. An 8-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers tonight. And stick around after the break, as there will be a Ducks and Oilers replay coming up. You're listening to DuckStream, presented by Gettle and powered by TuneIn.
Hey, it's your friend Garth Brooks, and we've got a new station exclusively here on TuneIn called Tailgate Radio, which you're gonna love. Turn it on and turn it up for the perfect tailgate playlist on game day. Search for Tailgate Radio on TuneIn to listen.
There's just something about classic soul music that gets you moving. And TuneIn's exclusive Soul Groove station has all the right moves. Hit play on the grooviest 70s selection. Get your masters in melody with Motown Classics. Or set just the right tone with smooth, soulful vibes from Marvin Gaye and more. It's all right here on TuneIn, ready to set the perfect 70s tone. Search Soul Groove or tell your device to play Soul Groove on TuneIn.
Please stay tuned. A replay of today's game will begin shortly. Please stay tuned. A